You're the boss. This is your show. I'm just living in it.
Yeah.
You can tell the people I'm here in the Collegian office right now. Nobody else is here.
Do you guys have an office?
Yep.
On campus, I assume.
Yeah, it's in our swanky communications building, the newest building on campus. But no one else is here.
You go by the Collegian there?
Yeah, the newspaper's called the Collegian.
Collegian, okay.
Yep.
That's what I have written.
Which I would like to think is better than the Exponent, but...
I don't know what the Exponent means. That's, like, if you just said the word Exponent, that would make me think of nothing at all. Like, I guess it says Purdue Exponent, but...
It's a math term.
Yeah.
You know? And obviously your school is the math and science and Neil Armstrong and all that good stuff.
I've been trying to get Travis to change our name to Hammered and Railing for like ever. We do it on Twitter, but like officially that should be what we are.
I don't know if that's going to work.
Why?
You guys are a credible SB Nation website.
Whoa,
who does?
There are people going to be mad at you for that.
Hard hitting journalism. You know what I'm saying?
That's going to be the new intro for this podcast, I think.
What?
Yeah, just that excerpt. Hammer nails. Hard hitting. Journalism expertise from the place that matters.
What's Doesn't that sound good?
Oh, yeah. Not okay. accurate at all, but it sounds good. We are just a bunch of... Hey guys, and welcome to the Hammer and Rails podcast. My name is Casey Bartley, and tonight we have a special guest from down on Butler Land, the man, the myth, the millennial, Jimmy Lafakis, writer and photographer for the Butler Collegian. How you doing, Jimmy?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, Casey. And yes, I am a millennial and proud to call myself that.
I was really excited when I came up with that nickname last night.
That was great.
All right, so obviously what we have headed for us is a Crossroads Classic repeat matchup of 2 years ago when the Butler Bulldogs pretty much dominated Purdue throughout the game. It got close late, but now Purdue gets a chance for revenge and try to take some ghosts away while Keelan Martin and your Bulldogs try to make their first signature win of the year. So first of all, just how you feeling about the game going in?
This is a showdown of epic proportions. I know four of Purdue's players now, and it's just going to be a really cool environment tomorrow. Last year was my first Crossroads Classic,
you
and I kind of get it.
Like, you've heard of more than four of them.
Yes, I know all of Purdue's roster. I've done my homework. I know your friend, Ryan Klein.
So. Yes, my buddy. You have a personal connection. You work for the trainer that's been working with Carson Edwards and Dakota Mathias. And you've probably seen more of those two work out this summer than anyone.
I have seen a lot. Carson was three times that I can remember. And then I think we'll talk more about this later. But with Keelan and Dakota, they battled four times that I can remember. So, yeah, I saw a lot of those guys this summer. When Carson came, he was just by himself. But even that was a spectacle to watch. I'm going to be honest with you. So
how for Purdue fans who aren't as familiar with Butler, just – give us a little run through of how your season's been so far.
So Butler's 8-2, and that is great news because it probably shocked a lot of fans coming into the season. A lot of things happened over the summer. You probably saw on the ESPN ticker that Chris Holtmann left to go to Ohio State, our head coach. Not only that, he took our whole former coaching staff with him, and that caused a lot of Butler fans to be upset and hired Laval Jordan, former player, loved in the eyes of the old geezers of the Butler fan base and all that different stuff. But 8-2, went to the PK80 tournament, escaped from there with a 2-1 record by beating Chris Holtmann Lost to Texas out there, and we've lost to Maryland. Those are the only two losses, blemishes really, on Butler's season. Coming in hot in this Crossroads Classic, coming in on a five-game winning streak after beating up on the likes of the St. Louis Billikens and the Youngstown State Penguins, both of whom are extremely bad teams.
Can you tell me what a Billiken is?
All I know is that it's on the other baseline from where I was taking pictures, and it was really scary. They literally brought their mascot. And I'll tell you, the halftime score of that game was Butler 42, St. Louis 13.
That's not good. That's not a fun night of watching basketball.
Not at all. I mean, St. Louis was just god-awful.
So your star is obviously Keelan Martin. He's struggled with his long-distance shot this year, only shooting 25% for three, but he's nearly 60% from inside the arc. Who else on the Butler's roster do we have to look out for?
Definitely want to watch for sophomore guard Kamar Baldwin. He's left-handed, and he can make some crazy moves. He does a couple things every game. It's just like, wow, how does a kid do that? He told me last year he has a 44-inch vertical leap after I saw him go off the backboard, go between the legs, and throw it down after an open gym. Last season, he took a lot of people by surprise after hitting a game-winning shot against Northwestern in a second college game. But this year, he's taken a lot more shots, which has been a problem at times because against Maryland, he shot 21 times and only hit six of them. But I think he's starting to get back to the form he was at last year. Now he's more on the scouting report. So definitely someone Purdue fans should be watching out for. The other senior on the roster is Tyler Wideman, 6'8", the play him at center. And he's one of the strongest guys this side of Isaac Haas. So where your team has the advantage is definitely with the height. Now there's three centers technically on Butler's roster, and you'll see all of them tomorrow as they try to rotate in and try to guard the paint. But, you know, you definitely want to watch for Baldwin, Wideman, and also Paul Jorgensen, the transfer from George Washington. He's a redshirt junior and can really start cooking from the outside. I've nicknamed him the microwave, and some Butler fans don't necessarily agree with that, but he brings a lot of experience and a lot of offense, can also distribute and steal the ball at times too. So, you know, but another big thing definitely want to point out, Butler will not have Sean McDermott tomorrow. When he went down, like when we played Portland State, he was the leading three-point shooter for the team. But Butler has been able to come, you know, with his injury, really respond and rattle off a bunch of wins, and he was really stroking it from behind the arc.
You talked about the lack of size, and that definitely looks like it's going to be a problem for you guys. Joey Brunk has hardly played at all after being a really coveted name in Indiana. Purdue had our name in the hat for a little while. How do you think Butler defends someone like Isaac Haas, who is just a problem down low?
I see your Twitter name. Isaac Haas is beautiful. Don't worry, I pay attention to you guys too. But
he's very pretty for a giant guy. Like it's Maryland was just wrong. He's very good looking.
That's nice. and he can play basketball too. So yes. The question you just asked is the question on every Butler's fan's mind, and the real answer is there's not that good of an answer to give you. Probably going to have to double team him in some stretches. And you're going to definitely see some Joey Brunk tomorrow just to bang with him down low. Like just try to put as many bodies on him as you can. I know that leaves the perimeter open for a shooter like a Dakota Mathias or a Carson Edwards or whatever the case may be. But kind of have to pack the paint a little bit. And now what's scary about your team is that you have two behemoths. So it's definitely going to be a challenge.
I don't know if Harms is a behemoth.
He's a behemoth.
He's very tall. But behemoth, like, he's not lumbering.
The way that guy plays defense, and I've made it a point to watch some of Purdue this season.
He's really good.
He's a defensive behemoth. And be honest, that does scare me a little bit going into tomorrow. But, yeah, I mean, you asked how Butler's going to defend Isaac Haas. It's going to be all hands on deck, because Tyler Wideman is definitely going to need to get some help. and he has a penchant, unfortunately, to pick up some fouls early in the game, and that would put Butler at a big disadvantage early.
I say you guys look really small, just from leading the height alone. You've got three guys that are, you know, 6'8 Weidman, Fowler, 6'10, who plays about half your minutes, and then Brunk, who hasn't played at all. It really does seem like it could be a problem down low, especially because you have to have a four on the floor who can guard Vincent, which I'm assuming is Keelan will play the four.
Correct.
But that also puts him, I mean, it's hard to carry an offense and guard someone as versatile and dangerous as Vincent.
That's a fair point. But what you may be surprised to see tomorrow is that Keelan has really stepped up his defensive rebounding this year, and he'll be able to gobble up some boards. And that is where Butler really has to put a point of emphasis. You talk about the keys to the game. Rebounding is going to be a huge deal tomorrow, and the team that likely wins a rebounding battle, I would likely say, wins the game. That's usually how it goes.
Purdue's not been a good defensive rebounding team.
And that is crazy to me.
Haas is huge. But there is a mobile part of rebounding that's just not. Our guards sometimes don't crash. It's when Dakota and Carson are crashing the boards defensively that we are really good.
Right.
And when they don't is when we get into problems like with Tennessee. You're exactly right. Martin has 111th highest defensive rebounding percentage, which is crazy for a guy who's only 6'7". And he's a good athlete, but he's not like crazy good. He's not skying everywhere.
He's a football player.
Yeah. That's
no, fair. He really is. Yeah. He really is, because he even told me he didn't start taking basketball seriously until his senior year of high school. He definitely loved football growing up in Louisville. So he goes and he muscles up and he's able to just pull down, and you look up and he's like, wow, Keelan has 8 defensive rebounds already. And what you hope is the Tyler Weidmans and the Joey Brunks of the world will be able to get some offensive rebounds tomorrow and maybe get some easy putbacks. That's definitely going to be a big part of what Butler needs to do in order to win this game against a very tough opponent. I mean, your team is really good. There's no doubting that.
And Weidman's been really good on the offensive rebound percentage. He grabs nearly 13% of misses, which is really good.
That
100 in the nation.
Needs to happen tomorrow. It just needs to. The game on the glass is going to be a huge part of this game, and that's exactly goes back to my earlier point where Weidman can't get in foul trouble. Because, you know, Butler fans really give Nate Fowler a hard time. He brings a lot of energy. And so you mentioned he hasn't played at all. So last year, unfortunately, his dad passed away. And he recently got the NCAA waiver to redshirt last season. Didn't play, you know, he played like 7 games last year. But in the spurts that he's shown this season, he's shown energy and activity that is definitely going to be key tomorrow, where, like I said, he's going to have to battle in the low post and grab a few boards. He can grab a few offensive rebounds that could potentially turn some tides in the game.
Yeah, he hasn't played enough minutes to qualify for anything, but his offensive rebounding percentage is actually at 18%, which would be ludicrous. Obviously, it's a very short sample size.
It is.
Speaking of big guys, Nate Fowler, he's got one of those lines that scare the death out of me as a Purdue fan. He's 2 for 6 from 3. Is he a 3-point shooter? Does he have range?
Yes, he does.
So he's going to go off for like 7 of them tomorrow.
No.
He's really good at giving up like career days to players that have never even come close to the games they have against us.
Since I've followed, you know, your Twitter for quite some time now, I have seen you tweet that. Nate Fowler is not going to come out and just splash threes on you all day long.
Thank you for saying that.
You're welcome. I was just thinking about this. Last year, Chris Holtmann used him more on the perimeter, and he did show more than capable range. You're talking about a guy who scored 17 points on the road against Providence last year, and that's 17 more points than he has tweets. Anyway, he's not a big talker. He just goes out there and does the job. But they're really parking him in the post, and he has when he catches the ball, which is a problem at times, he can go and finish with some easy baskets at the rim because he's able to muscle sometimes and get around a defender. Obviously,
he's
that's not
like
going to happen tomorrow.
68% inside.
Absolutely.
The arc.
What you should point out to all your loyal Hammer and Rails listeners out there is Tyler Wideman's field goal percentage over the season, but especially these last couple games. I mean, he's really getting some good shots close to the rim, and getting some easy baskets. And with layups and dunks and all that good stuff.
I say, what is his offensive game built upon? Is it back to the basket, touch?
He has nice rotation on his jump shot, but he doesn't shoot
small.
It often.
Like, he's only 6'8".
Right, and it's a lot of a dirty work, you know, with the offensive rebounds and cleaning up the glass that definitely needs to happen at times. Back to the basket. He's improved for sure, and part of that is working with our friend Joey Burton over the summer, but that's not exactly a strong suit, I wouldn't say. I actually went to high school with him, and I actually watched him just dominate everybody. Yes, he did beat Caleb Swanigan in semi-state his senior year. Not just beat him, but crushed him.
Careful.
It's true. You can go back and you can.
Sacred ground.
You can go back and you can look at the stats, but when he came to Butler, he had to change his body. He had to change how he played, all the different stuff, and he's been Mr. Consistency, hasn't missed a game in his Butler career, even with some problems with his hand and his fingers and all that different stuff, but he's going to be key tomorrow.
He's still playing less than 50% of your team's minutes.
That's because of the fouls. And they're still kind of working out how is it going to happen with Nate and Joey, because you lost that for pretty much all the season with Joey, you know, having to sit out last season. And they're still figuring some stuff out. But, you know, Nate,
he's got a really good offensive rating for a big man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yes, I'm just going to say it again because I hope it happens tomorrow. I'm going to try to speak it to existence. 2 years ago, Nate Fowler did not play barely any minutes, and he hit a three against your team in the Crossroads Classic.
Everyone does this. It's not surprising. Weidman – here's my thing. Does Weidman have like a really – does he know the players on his team? Like,
yes.
Does he like literally know who they are? Because he has a 3.1 assist rate. And that's awful. It's really bad.
He knows the players on his team.
Can he pass? Does he know?
Yes.
3.1. It's real bad.
Okay. I mean,
it's purely on numbers.
You don't think of him as a guy that's going to drop dimes for you.
Yeah, no.
That's not something I'm so concerned about. Can he grab rebounds? Can he get some ugly baskets, inside?
He's not at all a focal point on the offense. He just cleans up.
Essentially.
Okay.
But sometimes they can dump him down the ball in the post, and he can do a little hook or whatever the case may be.
He's going to be guarded by a 7'2 or 7'3 guy.
So that's probably not going to happen tomorrow. But that's okay.
All right, so where does Butler have an advantage against Purdue? You're familiar with both squads.
Yes. Where I immediately, when you ask that question, my first thing in my mind goes to Keelan Martin, who can score on all levels. I know you look at his three-point percentage and say, wow, he's only shooting 25% from three. That's pretty trash. But
60% inside the field. Pretty much just tells me we want him to shoot jumpers.
But you don't, though.
Long jumpers.
Long twos. I mean, obviously you want people to shoot that. But he has improved on his shot selection from last season. He's not jacking up shots as he sometimes had a penchant to do in the past. And he can drive on you. And I know that might be a little bit of a problem tomorrow, but he can also draw fouls. And I'm not sure what his free throw percentage is, but if you were to look it up right now, it's probably
85%.
Pretty good.
Really good. 28 of 33.
Perfect. So that is where it's a problem. And he has performed on the big stage multiple times last year against IU and against Villanova and Xavier on the road. He's scoring north of 20 points. Had a huge game against Middle Tennessee when everybody and their brother picked that stupid team to beat my team last year. But all that different stuff. And that is where Butler has an advantage, because if your team puts Vince Edwards on him for extended stretches of time,
we have talked about this. It makes me real nervous.
It could potentially be a problem. Because even if Keelan doesn't score after the drive, there's probably a good chance that he's going to draw a foul, get to the line, and hit two free throws.
Vincent's a weird four. He usually has an advantage, either quickness or he is long. So he has usually a physical advantage somewhere. That's
right.
Not the case with Keelan Martin.
It's not.
And he's not a very good defender. As much as we want him to be, and we said he was going to be like part of the defensive fix last year, it was pretty clear that he wasn't.
So are you hoping for a good offensive output from him tomorrow? Vincent,
it's been weird this year. His shot's been a little off lately from deep, but he just does so many things well on offense that it doesn't really, his numbers don't really matter. He scored double digits every game this season.
Wow.
He gets points in so many ways. He's making nearly 90% of his free throws now. He gets a lot of offensive rebounds. He can score in the mid-range. He can score deep. He can drive to the basket. He's going to get points. He's honestly the one player I don't worry about in any capacity. And he's also not the offensive focus. He's going to get points regardless. I really don't worry about offense. Just defensively against Martin, I am concerned. We need him on the floor for rebounding. He is by far our best rebounder. And if Keelan gets him in foul trouble, we're in trouble.
Isn't that crazy that he's your best rebounder? Or is that just me?
No, he's been really good his entire career. Because it's part offense. Like, he's one of the best offensive rebounders in our conference. He's got really good timing. He's really smart. He's really long and quick in, like, short bursts, which is great for offensive rebounding. And he just knows how to track the ball. And also, our other main center is, like, 7'2", 300 pounds. He's not very quick. It's like he's really – Vincent is the one that has to go get the ball.
I can see that. But your team has to switch – just to give a little bit of a different look at some points,
let's go back to that in a little bit, because we're going to finish talking about the main event.
Sure.
But for right now, let me ask you, your guards are really short. Kamar Baldwin 6'1", Thompson 6'2", Jorgensen 6'2". How do you feel that matches up with PJ and Carson are both small, but I kind of, Carson plays way bigger than he is.
That's true.
And then we bring Dakota Mathias 6'5", 6'4", and then Ryan Klein 6'6". They are bigger players. How do you feel that tilts? Is that Butler's favor with athleticism and shooting, or do you think Purdue's players are going to present them a lot of problems with how they play?
There's advantages either way. I'm guessing, you know, Purdue fans, you know, you guys have had a great season, and you're probably not going to watch a lot of Butler games, which I completely understand. Aaron and Kamar do a great job on the perimeter defensively. And Kamar's going to pick your pocket once or twice a game.
His steal rate is 108th in the nation. Like, it's very high.
So there you go. They're physical. They're tough. Sometimes they do draw silly fouls. Aaron Thompson, he draws charges, man. I mean, that's what that kid does. And honestly, I hope he's not listening to this podcast, because some of them are flops. and the refs call him.
It's a talent.
I asked him after one game, I was like, you like taking charges, huh? He's like, it's easy. Yeah, when you flop, it's easy. But no, he really does a good job of taking charges. So that's where Butler has the advantage, because, you know, Aaron and Kamar can kind of lock you up defensively. And I know I've seen Carson be explosive. There's no doubt about that. And if there's a guy that can stop him a little bit, it may be Kamar. I mean, he's the right man for the job, but Carson is still going
to
get points.
Is he strong enough to stick with Carson?
Yes.
Carson's strong.
So is Kamar.
Yeah. I only see the weight at like 170, and he just seems like a flitter bug.
You don't see the muscle on him, though.
Won't he be guarding PJ, though?
I'm not sure, because I guess that would make sense.
Do you guys match up Kamar on the best offensive guard the other team has?
I think tomorrow that's definitely going to be the case.
Okay. That's interesting.
But yeah, but where your team has the advantage is, like you said, a little bit of height. And, you know, another point of concern for me. I'm concerned about tomorrow a little bit, but you know, I think the way I know Dakota can operate off the screens and hit the shots, somebody could potentially get lost and all that different stuff.
Your guards are young, and usually defending against screens, especially off the ball, is something you learn over time. And Kamar's a sophomore, Thompson's a freshman.
Right. But it's also important to note, Coach Jordan played with the idea of putting Kamar a point guard, and that'll still happen at some stretches. But I'll tell you this, Kamar is not a point guard. And
he likes buckets.
The offense runs much more smoothly with Aaron out there running the point and Kamar off the ball. Kamar did not run any point guard last year, and I know last year we had Tyler Lewis and Keith and Savage, and you know, those guys, especially Tyler Lewis, were more point guard oriented, and Kamar was able to work his magic off the ball, and that's where he needs to be tomorrow. If there are significant stretches where Kamar's running point guard, you can just wrap it up and call it Purdue's first victory over Butler in the Crossroads Classic.
Turnover's a pretty big problem for you guys this year.
Yeah, bigger than it's been in the past. But
Thompson's turnover rate is real high.
Yeah, he does turn the ball over, but at the same time, Butler is going to turn the other team over.
Sure.
So it kind of balances out. What you need to look at if you're Butler tomorrow is getting the ball moving, because it's been stagnant. It was very stagnant in the two losses, and that was a lot of cause for concern for fans, because just kind of stand around, not much, a lot of happens, and then Kamar jacks up a shot, or maybe Keelan jacks up a shot, or because it, you know, the shot clock is winding down. And I want to talk about Paul Jorgensen for a minute, because in the beginning of the year, he would jack up some shots that weren't necessarily the smartest, but now he's taking it and he's dribbling and he's passing and doing something different with it instead of just jacking up a huge shot.
And he doesn't turn over the ball. He's
no.
actually really good at not turning over the ball. 44th best in the nation.
The assist to turnover rate for him has to be off the charts. And that's a huge part of it for Butler. And I mean, he started the season in the starting lineup and then was relegated to the bench. And now with McDermott being out, he's come up, and like I said, Butler hasn't missed a beat without. It's statistically its best three-point shooter without, and he, like I said, he won't play tomorrow.
Is that your starting lineup? Jorgensen, Thompson, Weidman, Baldwin, and Martin?
You got it. The
three guys of 6'2 or less.
We have struggled against big teams.
Have you?
There's no doubt about it. You look, that's why I say on paper. I mean, yes, your team does have the advantage, and with Sean being out, that definitely makes our bench a little bit thinner.
Yeah, he was kind of the guy you could bring in for a big lineup, wouldn't he?
Yeah, because he has the length and activity, but he was starting. So we'll see what happens. Here's something you have to think about. Amidst everything that has happened, you know, with Kyle Young deciding to go to Ohio State, Butler recruit, and then Cooper Neese transferring, there are 12 guys on the roster now, and one of them is a walk-on. And one of them is hurt. So we're trotting out 10 guys.
Yeah, which is a problem when you think about a team like Purdue, who's really deep almost everywhere.
Right. I agree. There's no denying or doubting that. But Butler has impressed me with its ability to, you know, next man up type of mentality.
Yeah. The guys you have are good. It's just you can't make them taller.
I want to point out another thing that Purdue fans will definitely like to hear. Aaron Thompson, he can drive, he can penetrate, he can lay up, and he can pass pretty well. He does turn the ball over. That man cannot shoot to save his life.
He's not taking a three-point shot this year.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy?
He's not taking a single one.
He's probably not going to hit it. And if you look at his free throw percentage, it's probably ugly.
Wow.
Yeah.
15 of 32.
Right. You want him at the line if you're Purdue.
Yeah. I want him shooting the ball is what it looks like.
You do, but he can penetrate a little bit and dish it off for an easy basket. But, yeah, he's not a shooter yet, or he may never be.
I think that's what it comes down to. Every time I've looked at games this year, if a team can't shoot from deep and they don't have the size to match up, it's going to be really hard to beat this Purdue team because they can shoot. And they can really beat you up on the inside.
That's definitely fair. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, so the thing about it is I've gotten to know all of these guys through my work and all that different stuff. Mm. And I try not to be biased, but it's really hard. But I want these Purdue people out there listening to know I have a lot of respect for your team this year.
You are not a hater. You are definitely not a hater.
I hope I'm not. I mean, like, and that is compounded with the fact that I've seen Dakota and Carson work, and it's just like, wow, these guys are really freaking good.
Let's move on to our main event then, because that – we first connected, you sent me some pictures. You're like, I got some pictures of your boys. And that's because you've been working with Joey Burton down in Indy, and he's been training two of our guys and then some of your guys. And you got to watch this summer what's hopefully going to be a preview of some matchups this game. Keelan Martin one-on-one against Dakota Mathias. David Woods wrote a story for Indy Star that you pretty much gave them your pictures, your pretty much your narrative at first to start. So I'll give you the floor to just explain what you saw this summer.
Absolutely. So I'm kind of a basketball junkie, and I really like baseball too. So like I could talk for days about this stuff. It was awesome. It was really fun to watch. And if you really think about it, and if you read the story, it was kind of a match made in heaven, because Keelan needed somebody who was really going to defend him well and be physical with him. And obviously, you know, your Purdue people know all about how good Dakota is as a defender. And then Dakota wanted somebody who's a little bit taller. I would say Keelan has about 3 inches on him. So that was kind of the match made in heaven, and they just went at it. It was an hour. Basically what they would do is they would start with the ball at the top of the perimeter, pick up the ball, and Joey would count down 3, 2, 1, and they'd have to do something, whether it be a layup or create space for a shot. The bottom line is this: they know all each other's moves because they were taught the exact same moves in the summer. So that was a lot of fun to watch. And they went back and forth. Like, they didn't talk. They just went at it. And they just, you know, one guy would get some baskets, but it was super competitive. And it was just a whole lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting dynamic to think about, because Keelan Martin is 6'7", 220. Like you said, he's a football player. He looks thick and strong. Dakota Mathias is every bit of 6'4" and quick. You think of him as a guard. I mean, you think of him as a shooter more than anything.
Right.
But he's really transformed his game defensively to become one of the best perimeter defenders in the league. And that is just a fun matchup of strength on strength, because Keelan is both talented and a bully. On offense, he can do a little bit of everything. He's struggled with this deep range shot, but he knows how to get to the basket, knows how to draw fouls. And Dakota's just really smart, quick laterally. I mean, those have to be some really good one-on-one games.
It really was. I mean, they, like I said, they went at it. It's tough to kind of describe. Just, it was as gritty and as just tough as you would imagine it to be, where they would take each other to the basket. They would step back. They would create separation. They would go out and hit a shot using the moves they had learned in the drills they would practice before, you know, the, like you say, main event, the real session occurred. So they would employ what they had learned. And, I mean, even before this summer, like when I would watch Purdue last year and just see Dakota, I look at the guy and I say, wow, this guy can do everything on the basketball court.
And you said it's pretty much 50-50 on, like, who got the better of who?
If I had to give a slight edge to somebody, I would give it to Keelan just because of size. And, like, he got a few more baskets. And Joey and I were talking about that the other day. But it was pretty much as even as you could imagine it to be.
That's fair. Dakota's not – Keelan is absolutely a guy you run an offense through. Ball in his hand, isolation, like, he can get buckets.
I'll tell you,
it's really not Dakota's game.
The crazy part about that is that Butler did not run the offense through Keelan last year.
No?
It was Andrew Schrabis, and sometimes I wish he was still on the team. That guy, man. I was so happy he was on Butler.
Yeah. I mean, part of the reason why I don't pay attention to Butler in the regular season is just, it's kind of like the Spurs in the NBA. It really doesn't matter who's out there. There's a system in place. The players know how to play. By the time March comes along, they'll be there.
That's fair. This year, you got two horses, and you got Keelan and Kamar. And I will say this right now, that tomorrow and for the rest of the season, this team will go as far as Keelan will take them. He's told me he wants to make his last year his best year, and he wasn't really worried or focused about the NBA. And you'll see if you guys read the story, both Keelan and Dakota approached Joey and said, we want to make our last year great. Not worried about the NBA or anything like that. So
that's a good message, even though I think both of them will make it in the NBA.
You know, I tend to agree with you. I think Keelan's going to get drafted, especially if he keeps up what he's been doing lately. I know the 3-point percentage is ugly, but it's just like this guy has an NBA body, and you could see him in the NBA one day. And I'd be really happy if that happens because he's waited his turn. And no, seriously, in a sense, it's just like, okay, like Alex Barlow and Cam Woods led the team, and then Roosevelt Jones and Kellen Dunham that led the team. And last year we had six seniors, and Andrew Srabas was the guy. This year Keelan is the guy. You know, he's essentially waited his turn.
Absolutely. I mean, if any two programs define Indiana basketball, it's Butler and Purdue, and Keelan and Dakota are just great examples of just getting better every year, playing the right way, doing the right things. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch them go at it.
I would definitely agree. And your team, and now that I'm thinking about it, it's like, wow, your team has a lot of offensive weapons.
Yeah.
Would you agree? Everywhere.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know how you guard us because you can't guard Isaac Haas one-on-one and you can't leave any of the other four starters on the floor. And then you bring in Ryan Klein. Eastern's not there yet. The bench still scares me.
Yeah, I was going to ask who else, who's going to come off the bench and beat us other than your golden boy?
It's Klein. Big game Klein. He comes up big when it matters. Harms is great off the bench. He's been really good. Like, he's been way ahead of schedule. His defense has been just remarkable.
It definitely seems that way.
His block percentage is sixth highest in the nation.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he comes in, and like within the first minute or two, he's going to have a block shot. And especially against a team like Butler, where your guys are all a little smaller, a little more mobile, especially with short guards, like that 7'3 wingspan, that's trouble. He's going to be able to get to some balls and make it really difficult.
Butler did play a freak like that against Texas and Mohamed Bamba, and yeah. He had a few blocks that I can remember. He's not the most skilled offensive player either, really. And no. Texas played him on the perimeter, which was just so stupid. I mean, just park that guy in the post and see what happens.
Harms' biggest strength going forward, I think, is just the fluidity he has. Like, he moves so well for being that big. And you can design an offense around just, like, all the dribble handoffs we do, the pick and rolls. He's got a pretty nice touch on that in-between area that can be real difficult for a big man. But, yeah, I just think off the bench, Eastern is real hit or miss.
Seems that way.
He's turned over the ball. 34% turnover rate.
That's not good.
That's higher than the guy I was making fun of for you, who's a center. Ours is like a guard. he doesn't know how to play D1 yet. I think it's really hard when you're a weird... He's a 6'6 point guard. And when you do that in high school, you're used to being both way bigger and way faster and quicker than everyone you're playing against.
Right.
And then you move into D1 and like neither of those cases are true anymore. So I don't think they know how to play basketball without a year kind of just to like reestablish who they are.
It takes time to adjust. Yeah. How's the chronic foot condition going?
Jaquill Taylor?
Yep.
Irrelevant. Matt Harms has made him absolutely irrelevant.
Is that good or bad?
I mean, it's great because Harms will be here for longer. And I think Harms is already a better player than Jaquill. But to be honest, for like a third big man, in case of emergency, like, I feel like Jaquill Taylor's great. He doesn't try to do too much. He's super long and quick on defense. He gives you a lot of the same things Harms does. He just doesn't quite have the upside. I wish we had one more guard.
Do you think redshirting Sasha was smart or no?
Yeah. Yeah, because there's not enough. You want Carson and PJ and Dakota and Klein to play a lot of minutes.
Right.
Sasha, I think he's going to be good. I was shocked by how well he played at international. I think he's quicker. He's quicker than Dakota was freshman year. Similar jump shot. But, yeah, I think when you're starting four seniors and your other ones and the other starter is probably your best player, I don't think you need a huge bench.
So Sasha went to Crown Point, which is a rival high school.
Yeah.
That kid had a storied high school career, man.
He's good. Like, that jump shot is pretty.
He can shoot. No, he can really shoot. And then I did get to catch up with him at the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star game. So that was cool. And so, yeah, the guys are Dakota, Carson, and your boy Ron Klein and Sasha. So I'm looking forward to seeing all those guys tomorrow.
I think we're at the point where we need to wrap this up. Give me, what is the one thing you look for in the game? What if Butler pulls off the upset tomorrow, what is going to be the headline? What is the narrative that carried them to victory?
Keelan Martin goes off. And
just
and
subheadline.
The rebounding battle was close.
I think you guys have to win it, and I don't think that's impossible. Purdue's not a great rebounding team.
That I'm sorry, that still blows my mind. If you have a behemoth down low, like
our guards are really bad at boxing out.
But Isaac Haas shouldn't be bad at boxing out.
He can box. He can stand there. But like boxing out is, I don't like boxing out is both. It's weirdly, it's effort, obviously, but it's also like quickness and strength. Like, it's hard to box out effectively. It takes a lot of work.
So just to give my boy from the region a shout out, don't be surprised if Big Cat Tyler Weidman comes through and grabs up a couple offensive rebounds if he sneaks in there and gets a few baskets.
If he plays more than 10 minutes, because he might foul out.
That's the crazy part, because I'll go back to the Ohio State game. Aaron Thompson and Tyler Weidman fouled out of that game.
Oh.
And Butler still won.
That's crazy. I don't think you'll win if both of those guys foul out tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty safe to say. And like I said, your team should win on paper, but
I think it'll be fun.
There's a lot.
It'll be a good game.
For no doubt. There's a lot of pressure on your team.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure on your team.
And you guys have done a little better at the crossroads than we have.
Yeah, a little bit. I was looking at the stats last night, and then...
I mean, it is a home game for you guys. Like, it's bullshit that we played in Indy.
Where else are you going to play it? Lafayette Jeff?
Chicago's got a nice stadium.
It's not Indiana. So the whole point is the Crossroads Classic.
Oh, Carmel had a nice gym. It was good enough for, like, international exhibition.
Okay, if the state championship, never mind. We're going to bring a lot of fans tomorrow. A lot of old geezers, that's our fan base. I hope your team brings a lot of fans tomorrow. I know you guys came back and beat Notre Dame last year. I definitely was not mad about that. And then at last year, IU was ranked number 9 in the country, and Butler took them down.
Let's hope for a different narrative this time, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
No doubt. Butler is not ranked, in case.
You guys are close. I really don't think rankings matter till like February.
That's true. But it's a little bit of added pressure for you guys. And
stop playing Portland State. Play real teams.
Well,
Chicago State.
The Portland State thing, that was how the cookie crumbled. You know, if the way the brackets were set up in Portland was really cool, really different. If we would have beat Texas, we would have played Duke.
Yeah, they're bum. They just lost. No good.
So
they lost to Boston College.
That's crazy. A guy with pink hair is giving them buckets.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, tomorrow's going to be a fun game. Thank you, Jimmy, for giving us some insight on Dakota, Keelan, all of this. It's been a lot of fun talking to you. You can check out his stuff at the Butler Collegian. What's your Twitter handle?
Yeah, so it's JJLII30.
We got to fix that.
It's
got to be something that you can say.
Nope.
All right, well, definitely go check out his stuff. He's always got really good pictures. He's flooded my inbox with a bunch of awesome stuff.
And I'd appreciate it. I'm going to give a free plug to thebutlercollegian.com.
There you go.
Just in case anybody from West Lafayette wants to read that stuff, because it'd be somebody else other than my mom and dad. So I appreciate you guys, man.
I think we can all agree that Butler is the one school like Purdue fans cannot hate. Like, just don't hate them.
But Purdue fans hate Butler.
You beat us. It's annoying. Stop beating us and we'll love you again.
Show us respect.
We respect you. Like, we do respect you. We don't chant Butler sucks after everything.
That would be horrible if you did.
Yeah, it would.
That would be completely unnecessary. You guys got a big rival down south that you can have your rivalry.
They're all right.
And I know.
What have they done for me lately?
Butler, you know, not the plucky school anymore from the Horizon League. We're playing with the big boys now, and we're playing in the Big East against some really tough competition, against the Villanovas and the Xaviers, and this year the Seton Halls of the world.
Yeah. I just want to say I look forward to you guys finding another new coach next year. It's going to be great.
keep the jokes coming. Keep them coming.
All right, Jimmy, thank you. That's it for me. That's it for Hammer and Rails. Hope you guys have a good night. Crossroads Classic tomorrow. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys, man. Thank you.